So this, you know, caused us concern. And so that's why we're funding a set of control framework development projects that are really tend to be quite different in terms of their areas of emphasis. So these projects don't have identical goals. They're not going to produce identical systems. They each have different topic areas with which they're more tuned in, but they should support those high-level functions that I presented at the beginning of this talk. As you know, Chip showed you, we've got these clusters include what we call sort of an anchor project, who's developing the control plane and control framework piece, and then a set of aggregates that need to plug into that. And they tend to be projects may include one or more aggregate. So there's not really a sort of a one-to-one mapping between one project and one aggregate. So it's this is really sort of driven by the interests and expertise and contributions that the different projects bring. An obvious question is, why five control frameworks? Well, as we've said, this is an important capability that the system needs to support. We don't have agreement yet on several of the high-level functions that are part of the that we know need to be in the design to make Genie work. And so this is a topic that's actually going to be under discussion in the control plane, the control framework working group, which meets tomorrow morning. We wanted to have a diverse array of folks who are addressing these issues, looking at some of the topics are federation, identity, centralization versus distribution of services. So those are the kinds of things that are going to be discussed in that working group. We wanted to go beyond just having discussions and writing papers. We wanted to get people to implement their ideas. So it's really sort of the running code that will help inform the decision-making process to see what actually works and what can help us meet the requirements. How am I doing on time?
You're okay. You're going to run.
Okay. Okay. So I want to go through briefly each of the clusters, very briefly. The first, what we're calling Cluster A, is really anchored around the deter security test bed. Their emphasis is really on notions surrounding federation, also with a particular emphasis in supporting disconnected operation and scalability. They're producing a clearinghouse and a component manager, are including over 100 nodes that exist in the Deter Lab test bed that's at ISI and Berkeley. I'm also showing here the Genie Meta Operations Center. The GMOC project out of Indiana is, they're really charged with working with everybody who's producing a prototype. Their goal is to define some data interface standards for supporting operations so that each technology can export their status in a way that makes it easy to assimilate, to present a coherent view of the system. So you're going to see GMOC on every one of these slides. I'm not going to go over it each time because they're doing basically the same thing with everybody. The color coding here, that if you, I don't know if you can see the writing, but there's a little box here that sort of identifies what stuff in the system is associated with the project. This says Deter, Rokloski, USC, ISI. Says the project name, PI, and institution. Oh, that's right. So in your registration package, you should have received a Spiral 1 overview. It's a 25-page document, and it's got a paragraph on each of the projects. These pictures appear in there as well. So. Yeah, right. So I don't. Thank you. Yes, it's an eye chart. So then I won't go through it in that much detail. The other cluster is the cluster around Planet Lab. They're producing both a clearinghouse and component manager reference code. They bring large number, 800 plus nodes, and interconnection with the Vinny project. What you can see here is several different kinds of aggregates that are being developed. Enterprise Genie, you're going to hear about later today. Chip mentioned it. This is Nick McCune's programmable Ethernet switch. The SPP overlay nodes is a programmable router. The Gush tools and provisioning services, those are two projects to develop tools for designing experiments and managing slices. Mid-Atlantic Crossroads is a regional network that has a control plane that will be made Genie capable, so you can use the Genie interface to establish VLANs in their network. The GPNI network, another regional network across several institutions in the Midwest, and they bring sizable optics with programmable routers, or sizable routers. Cluster C is centered around ProtoGenie. This is out of Utah. ProtoGenie is an evolution of the Emulab system. Again, they're bringing a clearinghouse and a component manager and a large number of Emulab resources, several hundred nodes. The CMU lab project includes programmable wireless access points. They have their own Emulab cluster, which will be made Genie capable, and there's a wireless emulation testbed from Peter Stinkus' work, which will be, again, all accessible through Genie using the control plane. The University of Kentucky EduLab project has got, they're developing courseware and undergraduate environment for doing experimentation. And then Paul Barford is really the only project that we've got in Spiral 1 that's really focused on instrumentation and measurement. And he's developing a prototype of the GIMS, Genie Instrumentation and Measurement System. Georgia Tech has got a project we're calling Virtual Tunnels. It's producing two things. A tool set for dynamic tunnel establishment that will be, again, hooked into the Genie control plane. And then what they're calling BGP MUX, a way of distributing BGP information from the internet to slices that are running in Genie. So as you can see, clusters B and C are fairly large. They have a large number of projects that are sitting on the control plane. Our goal is to, for Spiral 1, is to have the ability to establish slices that can span all the stuff within a particular cluster. So by having each of these projects integrate with the control framework that's provided by the Anchor project, researchers should be able to come in once they've got their initial code running in 6 to 12 months. You know, early adopters should be able to establish some experiments that can cross this diverse set of stuff. There are two more frameworks. Cluster D is anchored by the OrcaBend project. This is OrcaBend combines both a set of resource leasing software as the basis for their control framework, but also an optical testbed, the breakable experimental network, which has the ability for doing low-level layer one network experimentation. The sensor actuator network. This is Jim Carosi's work. Thank you. So I'm going to try to pick up the pace here. Rather than try to read these, you can get the details out of the Spiral 1 overview. This network includes several different kinds of sensor networks and some actuator networks. And so that's what makes it particularly interesting and different from the others. And then Cluster E is very wireless focused. Includes the WinLab wireless testbed, where we have a testbed in Australia that's going to be integrated into Genie, and then an open programmable WiMAX base station for folks who are doing wireless experimentation. So these are very wireless focused. The emphasis is less on developing the control plane APIs than finding ways of adapting wireless systems into a Genie control plane. Okay, so, okay, that's, I guess you can see everything here. This is just another way of viewing the project that I showed you, that each of these columns corresponds to the clusters that I just showed you. On the right, you can see there's two other groupings. The study all group, this is these folks are not so much building prototype systems for that'd be used by experimenters, but are doing development and architecture and design work that is applicable to all of Genie. And so they're going to be getting involved in studying all of the different control frameworks. And then on the far right, we've got a column which you can't quite read. It says pick one. And this has a set of projects that are they are early enough in their development that for Spiral 1, we don't expect to see an integrated prototype. However, to do their design, they're going to they need to have a control plane in mind. And so rather than force them to, rather than us choosing a control plane for them, you know, part of their job for Spiral 1 is to pick a control plane and get involved in the design process of that. And so the folks who are developing these control planes will probably see folks from these projects on the right showing a lot of interest in what they're doing and possibly wanting to get involved in their design work. Okay, so what does it mean to when we talk about integrate into a control framework cluster? So if you are one of those projects in the column, what are your our expectations of you? Well, you know, Chip went through the cartoon of what you need to do, how Genie works. You know, we're expecting the early adopter researchers, so this doesn't mean that you need to have, you know, final quality documentation and training materials. So, you know, somebody who's willing to live on the bleeding edge. But it shouldn't be somebody who's part of your development team, right? Somebody, you, so you should have sufficient documentation and capability that somebody who comes in from outside can use the system without having to, you know, read all the source. If you are the control plane provider, you should have sufficient control plane services that you can support the establishment of slices that cross this range of projects that are in your cluster. And then if you're building one of these aggregates, you should be integrated into the control plane in such a way that an experiment can be established that crosses different aggregates. So don't plan that researchers who are using Spiral 1 stuff are just going to use your stuff, that they you should be thinking that they could use anything inside your cluster. And so that includes the ability to allocate resources and create topologies. I dimmed the authorization piece because that's a little less mature, and I so that's not really the emphasis for I think what we'll see in Spiral 1 in all cases. But you want to be able to get to a point where a researcher can come in and they can download their code onto your stuff and they can actually conduct an experiment that crosses resources that are within your cluster. So some example tasks. If you are a clearinghouse developer, you should develop some reference code that you can give to the folks who are building the aggregates. You need to set up services to support discovery, slice control and management, a bunch of documentation. If you're building an aggregate, the R specs, you know, how you advertise the resources that you have available are critical. So you should be focusing right away on how you're going to describe the capabilities and the resources that you're going to allow researchers to reserve. The reference component manager code needs to be adapted to whatever internal control structure you have in your aggregate. And then documentation for users. And then, you know, the goal is to get something that works, right? So you integrate, test, and demo. The rough rhythm that I've been suggesting is to think in terms of spending the first 6 months of doing your own development and the second 6 months of making your stuff work with somebody else's. Now, you clearly have to talk to them, you know, during the first 6 months so you know what you're building. But don't expect that you're going to show up, you know, at the demo and plug your stuff and it's just going to work. That a lot of the value of what's coming out of Spiral 1 is in the integration process. And so keep that in your mind. Don't think in terms that you've got this whole year to write your code, that the integration process is going to be challenging and it's very important. And I'm done. Thank you.